In our increasingly high-tech world, the food production process keeps getting more efficient. Despite this, consumers are more wasteful than ever before. Each year, over 1 billion tons of edible food is thrown away. Food waste costs us two of our most precious resources, time and money, and most of it happens in our own homes. But you don't have to let that food go to waste. In fact, there are techniques you can use to preserve your food that can save you money and make you a better cook in the process. If you want to start reducing food waste in your home, you're in the right place. This is Kitchen Conservation. Welcome back to episode 2 of Kitchen Conservation. This is a show that's designed to help you reduce food waste in your home, saving you money, and making you a better cook in the process. My name is Kincaid Callahan, and I'm your host. In our last episode, we went into the world of making your own food stocks at home and how that can reduce vegetable waste, save you money, and allow you to be more creative with your dishes. Now, while that may only be tangentially related to directly reducing food waste in your home, today's issue is anything but. Today, we're going to be talking about the best way to utilize one of the best inventions in the history of mankind, the refrigerator and the freezer. You see, these inventions completely revolutionized the ways that we prepare, cook, and store our food, so much so, in fact, that if they were to magically disappear one day, most of the population, myself included, would really have no idea what to do. That's because our modern methods of food storage have so fundamentally changed the way that we're able to preserve food. And I mean, really think about it. Without our fridges or freezers, we would have to cure or smoke all of our meat to have it last any longer than a few days, and you can completely forget about eating any fruits or vegetables out of season. The fridge and the freezer have drastically increased the average shelf life of our food products, so knowing how to use them is paramount. The truth is, most of us often misuse these awesome tools, and it leads to our food rotting quicker than it really should. In many ways, we are underorganized and underprepared, and in the end, that ultimately costs us money. So that's what this episode is about. This episode is designed to hopefully teach you some tricks that will allow you to store food better in your fridge and freezer so that they're able to last longer, so you're throwing less food away, making less trips to the grocery store, and ultimately saving yourself money. To get a better understanding of this topic myself, I went and talked to someone who is a professional and an expert in food science. Dr. David Reed is a senior horticulture professor at Texas A&M University, and he has a lot to say about why exactly refrigerators work for food.
So, first of all, fruits and vegetables are alive. You know, we eat living produce. So they're respiring, they're growing, they're good for us to eat. We enjoy eating them, and so do microbes, bacteria and fungi. So the reason why we store food in a refrigerator is to slow the growth of the microbes.
As you can see, not only is the food that we eat very alive, but they're also covered with very alive microorganisms that are just as hungry for food as we are. But exposure to microbes isn't the only thing that's making our food go bad in our refrigerators.
A fruit that's getting ripe is a fruit that's dying. Just before the fruit dies, it's at its maximum appeal, its maximum sweetness, its maximum softness. It wants to be desirable to be eaten so it can be dispersed. As soon as the ripening is over with, it goes into the rotting phase. So for plants that want to go on purpose through this ripening phase where it's attractive and then it finally rots and dies so the seeds are spread, there's a hormone that triggers that process. And it's really a death process because that really nice looking ripe apple, pear, tomato, the plant wants it to eventually rot to spread the seeds.
Now we've talked about all the awesome ways that your refrigerator can make your fruits and vegetables last longer, but not all of them need to stay in there. And Dr. Reed knows exactly why.
So there are a lot of plants that make fruit or make tubers, and they're doing it to propagate the plant into the next growing season. So Irish potatoes make potatoes, so the next spring the new plants can grow up from the Irish potatoes. So they are designed to last a long time without refrigeration.
I see.
So we just store them in a cool room temperature place and keep them away from moisture so they last a long time. So a lot of tubers, like Irish potatoes, like sweet potatoes, garlic, those kind of things, you might as well store them just at room temperature because they're going to last 3 to 6 months that way.
Now, at the end of the day, making your food last longer in your fridge can be extremely helpful, but it really isn't that useful if you don't know when it's finally time to throw food away if you end up getting there. For many of us, knowing exactly when to throw our food away can be confusing, but as Dr. Reed puts it, it's much simpler than it may seem.
A fruit or a vegetable past its usability date, you're not going to enjoy eating. So a banana that's too ripe, it's mushy. A tomato that's too ripe, it's mushy. And it will be mushy to where it's not enjoyable to chew and eat a long time before it starts deteriorating due to bacteria and fungi that might potentially harm you.
Knowing how exactly your fridges and freezers work can definitely help you in reducing the amount of food waste in your home, but there are a couple of other tips and tricks I want to talk about with these devices. The first trick I want to talk about is called first in, first out. It's a fairly common technique that you may find talked about often online. The premise is actually pretty simple. In fact, it's in the name. The first food that you put in your fridge should be the first food that comes out. You should be continuously taking the oldest remaining food in your refrigerator and moving it up to the front and making a conscious effort to use that newest food that you have in your fridge before you use any items that are further away from their expiration date. The idea of this, of course, is that you're using more food before it goes bad and constantly shuffling and moving things in and out in the correct order so that you don't have anything sitting in the back of your fridge that's been there for months and months and isn't getting used and is going bad. So the second trick that I want to talk about has to do with overcrowding your fridge. A lot of us are pretty guilty of this, especially a lot of us that have a lot of food that we like to store. We can very easily overcrowd our fridges, thus reducing the airflow. Less airflow means that the food isn't able to get cooled as quickly. Now, in our segment with Dr. Reed, we already discussed why that can be a bad thing. So, it's a good thing to make a conscious effort to ensure that there is lots of breathable room within your fridge and that air is able to circulate effectively. That is going to keep your food cooler, and guess what? It's going to make it last longer, too. So now let's talk about the elephant in the room. That, of course, is leftovers. Those foods that you couldn't finish the night before, and you bag them up and hope to give them a second chance on life before they're ultimately thrown away. We're all guilty of wasting leftovers, and some of us waste a lot of them. To better illustrate this, I talk to a regular person who has to deal with leftovers on a daily basis. Meet Colby. He's a student at Texas A&M University, where Dr. Reed teaches. And he has an interesting plan for dealing with the leftovers that he has.
Me and my brother really only cook a few times a week, but when we do and we have leftovers, we usually just give them to the dogs.
Now, while it's certainly not a bad thing to give some scraps to your dog, as long as you make sure that they're safe for dog consumption, it certainly can be wasteful for you. So let's see what Colby ultimately does when he does decide to eat his leftovers.
Do we have some Tupperware we put it in? And then reheat it, usually in the microwave or the air fryer. Generally, I'll eat it as is, but since it's meat, sometimes I'll put a little bread on it and make a sandwich.
Now, I think it's safe to say that simply reheating the food that you already had left over is the most common way to consume our leftovers, but it's certainly not the only way. There are a lot of really interesting ways to use the leftovers that you have. You can make them into sandwiches. If it's meats or some vegetables, you might be able to throw them into some sort of soup or stew. You can arrange them in different ways. You can heat them up in different ways, the microwave, the oven, on the stove, and an air fryer if you have one. If you want to learn more ways to use your leftovers, there are a lot of great articles on the internet that you can look to see a lot of awesome recipes that you can use with common leftovers. I know for a lot of people, leftovers can be pretty boring, but the thing is, they really don't have to be, so long as you're creative.
They can be boring, but as long as you know how to spice them up, then it makes a perfectly new meal sometimes.
So if you have the right mindset, and you're willing to go out of your comfort zone, leftovers can go from something that's incredibly boring to something that can actually be pretty exciting and a great way to experiment with new ideas in your kitchen in a low-risk environment. And of course, when it comes to storing your leftovers, I want to harken back to that first-in, first-out method. Your leftovers should always be towards the front of your fridge so that you use them before anything else and do not forget about them. Now, at the end of the day, everything that you learned in this episode is only good to you if you actually decide that you want to go and use it. It's great to understand how your fridge works and understand where certain things should be stored and where certain things shouldn't be stored and what to do with leftovers and this or that. But if you don't have the drive to go and reduce the food waste in your home by using these tricks, which can save you money and potentially make you a better cook in the process, then you're not really going to get positive results in the long run. But if you do decide to implement these tricks, I think that you'll start seeing positive results in a very short amount of time. Well, that wraps up this episode of Kitchen Conservation. If you want to see more, you could always go back and look at the first episode, which is available on the very same platforms as this one. Just remember, reducing food waste in your home can save you money and make you a better cook in the process. I wish you all the best of luck out there. Thank you for listening. I'm Kincaid Callahan, and this has been Kitchen Conservation.